Unzabiyari Jaya Radha Madhava Unzabiyari. Kunja Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Pallava Girivara Dhari Gopijana Yasoda Nandana Bhagavana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Namachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Gopijana Pallava Girivara Dhari Gopijana Pallava Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Bhagavana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Bhagavana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Dhammachari Yamuna Tira Dhammachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
There's a problem with this harmonium. There's some, this here, you see, this tone is giving a double tone. Some problem.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What is it? 16? 17. Shetra Ketur Urvatsa. Shetra Ketur Urvatsa. Pati Grinami Te Sapam. Pati Grinami Te Sapam. Amanon Lali Nambite. Amanon Lali Nambike. Devaya Machaya Yatroktam. Purva Distam Hitas Yatat. Sita Ketur Urvatsa. Pratigrinami Te Sapam. Atmano Nali Nambike.
How do you spell this second one? Na, how does it go? Nya, nya, huh? Huh? Anja? Anjali? Anjali? Anjali Nambike? Anjali Nambike? Okay.
Admanu Anjali Nambike. Devaya Matyaya Yat Proktam. Purva Distam Hitas Yatat. Chitraketur Uvacha. Pratigrinami Te Sapam. Admano Anjali Nambike. Devaya Matyaya Yat Proktam. Purva Distam Hitas Yatat.
Ladies, Chitraketu Uvacha, King Chitraketu said, Patigrinami, I accept Che, your Shapam, curse, Admanaha, my own, Anjalina, with folded hands, Ambike, O Mother, Devai, by the demigods, Matyaya, unto a mortal, Yat, which, Proktam, prescribed, Purvadistam, fixed previously according to one's past deeds. He, indeed, Tasya, of him, Tat, that. Translation. Chitraketu said, my dear mother, with my folded hands folded together, with my own hands folded together, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse. For happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of past deeds. Prabhupada. Since Chitraketu was a devotee of the Lord, he was not at all disturbed by the curse of Mother Parvati. He knew very well that one suffers or enjoys the results of one's past deeds as ordained by Daiva Netra, superior authority or the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or the goddess Parvati, yet he had been punished, and that means that the punishment had been ordained. Thus the king did not mind it. The devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life as a blessing from the Lord. Tani nukampam sukshamikshamanu. A devotee always accepts punishment from anyone as a mercy of the Lord. If one lives in this conception of life, he sees whatever reverses occur to be due to his past misdeeds, and therefore he never accuses anyone. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of being purified by his suffering. Suffering, therefore, is also a process of purification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti says in this connection that one who has developed Krishna consciousness and who exists in love with Krishna is no longer subject to suffering and happiness under the laws of karma. Indeed, he is beyond karma. Brahma Samhita says, Karmari nirdhatu kintu chabakti bhajam. A devotee is free from the reactions of karma because he has taken to devotional service. This same principle is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatitya Tan Brahma Bhuya Kalpati. When one is engaged in devotional service, he has already been freed from the reactions of material karma, and thus he merely becomes Brahma Bhuta or transcendental. This is also expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kriyanti Chasya Karmani. Before attaining the stage of love, one becomes free from all the results of karma. The Lord is very kind and affectionate towards his devotees, and therefore a devotee in any condition is not subjected to the results of karma. A devotee never aspires for the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets, liberation and hell, are known different for a devotee, for he does not discriminate between different positions in this material world. A devotee is always eager to return back to Godhead and remain there as the Lord's associate. This ambition becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, and therefore he does not care about material changes in his life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that Maharaj Chitraketu, being cursed by Parvati, should be considered the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wanted Chitraketu to return to Godhead as soon as possible, and therefore he terminated all the reactions of his past deeds. Acting through the heart of Parvati, the Lord, who is seated in everyone's heart, cursed Chitraketu in order to end his material reactions. Thus, Chitraketu became Ritasura in his next life and returned home back to Godhead. Omagyan Timiranda Zyaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshur Amritam Yenatasmai Sigurvayanam. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Parantikam. Hare Krishna. So Bhishma, when he was lying on the bed of arrows, one thing he said is, no one can understand the plan of the Lord. We can only understand on the basis of Shastra when somebody is suffering. We can understand the principle, karmana deva netrina, as mentioned by, actually by Krishna himself. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, if you read this verse, says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, that according to his past life, he is suffering the results, or according to his past life, he's suffering or enjoying the reactions of this life. This is the law of karma. There's literally no understanding in Western religiosity coming from the West. There's literally very little understanding of karma. People say, as you sow, you shall reap. It is in the scripture. But what if somebody was, like my brother, died a terrible death when he was 7 years old on cancer? I asked the priest, the boy was dying, or he just died actually. I was 12 years old, my brother was 7. I said, Father, why does God allow this? What has my brother done to suffer like this? I was only 12 years old. He said, I don't know, he's not done anything. He said, well, it says in scripture, as you sow, you reap. If you sow banana seed, what will come out? Banana tree. You sow an apple seed, what will come out? Lemon? Orange? No. Accordingly, as you sow, you... It's a law of nature, action and reaction. So I said, what has he done? He was only 7 years old. He said, I don't know. And then I said, therefore, I become an atheist. I told him, it's 7 years, there is no God. Somebody has everything, somebody has nothing, somebody suffers as a little child. Where's God in all this? God must be just. And it was true what I said. God is just. We know this from Bhagavad Gita. Samohamsavabhuteshu namedveshyosinapriya. God is just. But if there's only one life, as Christians or Muslims or Jewish people think, there's no pre-existence of the soul, then how can you understand when people perish? How do you understand the suffering of a child? Where's God in all this? And so, if there's no philosophy, if there's no understanding of the law of karma, then people become atheists. It leads to atheism. Religion has to be reasonable. It has to make sense. Otherwise it leads to atheism. And people say, what is the use of all this? Explain to me, why is one little girl being abused with 4 years? What is the answer? Well, if there's only one life, there is no answer. Then God is rather cruel. One person suffers, another one enjoys. Somebody dies 2 years old, he has no food, or dies of AIDS. Another one, he never goes to church, or to the temple, or to the synagogue. He lives very comfortable up to the end. So, how do they understand these things? You understand this if you have knowledge. If you have knowledge. That fate, we suffer in this life. That is called fate. Fate, right? Fate. Some suffering comes to you, some enjoyment. Fate is neither blind nor unjust. Neither of the two. It is not blind, nor unjust. That everybody is eating his own soup. and Krishna is the cook. Not in the ultimate issue, not Krishna. It's done under the control of Yamaraj. But I mean, you give a cook some sabji and some rice and dal, and don't complain. Whatever you give the cook, that will be the meal. So everybody is eating his own soup in this world. And so that little girl that was abused by an old man, probably in his previous life, I cannot say for certain, but it occurs that he is an old man who is doing this to a young girl, and he has to suffer the same thing. He has to suffer the pain, mental anguish, physical pain in the body of a girl, because he caused it to a girl. May not work exactly like this, but one is for sure, that even the demons are protected by God. Nobody can suffer more than he caused to suffer. If we suffer violence particularly, we can be sure that we are in a cycle of violence. In this life we suffer. Why? Because in a previous life we were abusing. We were the perpetrator. That's like in school. The little children are beaten up by the old children. Why? Because the old children were beaten up when they were young children by the older children. In one life a person is a victim, in the next life he's an abuser. And so people get caught like this in a cycle of violence, life after life maybe, till they come to Krishna, till they come to understanding, to a philosophical understanding of the fact, why do I suffer? One famous man, the famous tennis player, his name is Peter Bowers. He was Prabhupada's disciple, the Soto's disciple. And one time, a rich man, famous tennis player, has a famous tennis school, a devotee stayed with him and he stole some money. So Peter Bowers went to Prabhupada and says, "Peter Prabhupada, one of you, our devotees, he stayed in my house, he stole my money." And Prabhupada said, "Don't be upset with the instruments of your karma." That's what Prabhupada said, don't be upset. Because we see the immediate cause. But Krishna is sarva karana karanam, he's the cause of all causes. There's higher cause, there's lower cause. And in material life we get absorbed in the immediate cause. But there's more to it. The Bhishma, I heard the story from Radhanath Maharaj one time. The Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows and he asked, "My dear Krishna, I've been your devotees for 10 lifetimes. How come I'm suffering? You say, aham tvam sarva papibhyo, I'm suffering. Why is that?" And Krishna said, "But in your 11th life, you were a hunter and you threw a snake into a thorny bush and this snake took so many minutes to die and therefore you're on the bed of arrows because she was pierced by so many thorns." Of course we should not think that pure devotees are under the law of karma. In the ultimate issue they're not. It is more pastime, leela. That Krishna knows that people who are transcendental to the material nature, people who have thoroughly realized that they are not the body, people who are living who understand that material life is just a big dream, that we are having in material life, we are souls, we are transcendental, we have nothing to do with the material world, but we're having a very strong material experience right now. That's the situation. So a self-realized soul, he knows that he's outside of the material world. And so therefore he shows in an example like suffering what it takes to deal with suffering in a perfect way. Prahlad suffered. He was thrown into a den of lions. He was thrown off the cliff. He was thrown to snakes. He did not. He was not disturbed because he was transcendental to the body and to the mind. And so Haridas Thakur was beaten over 21 marketplaces. He was not disturbed because he was transcendental to the body and to the mind. Jesus was crucified. He was not disturbed. The women were crying on the road when they brought him to crucifixion. He said, "Don't cry for me. Cry for yourself and for your children." Because he was transcendental. So, even Prabhupada, I saw when he was leaving his body, last thing Prabhupada said in his room, he said, "Everything moving and non-moving. There's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness." That was the last sentence. I was there, I saw it. And right after that, Hare Krishna, he left the body. So these great souls, they show us how to deal with our suffering, which is not lila, it is karma, how to deal with it. How to take it. Even if somebody makes us suffer, we have to understand that he's just an instrument of our own karma. Therefore we have to forgive. In material life, it's very hard to forgive if you think that you're unjustly treated. But there's nothing unjust about our suffering. My father, he was in a concentration camp, and he told me a story that when he was a young boy, he was a political prisoner, and he was a young boy. He had some tiffin with his friends, he ate some sandwiches, and the friend, he didn't like the sandwich, he kicked it over the fence of the school. My father said, "You should not do that." He was a Christian, religious person. He said, "You shouldn't do that." I said, "Why?" He said, "Bread is given by God." The friend laughed. He said, "There's this ridiculous idea. Bread is made in a factory. How is it made by God? And where's God anyway?" So they parted from each other. They never saw each other again. 40 years later, they met in a concentration camp. It was Esterwegen, northern Germany. And so many people died. They worked to death, 16 hours a day, potato soup, water and one potato in it, something. And so when the British soldiers, the British army, freed the concentration camp, this man was dying. And my father was at his side. They met again in the concentration camp after 40 years. And so he was dying, and the British medic, he went from one bed to another on his first tour, and he leaned on the bed, he saw the man dying, he said, "One slice of bread," in British, "one slice of bread would have saved this man." And the man went, "Ah!" He grabbed my father's hand, he said, "Wilhelm, do you remember this? Do you remember?" My father said, "I remember this, I do." And he fell back into his death. And so the comment of my father was, that's how I learned this. One, God, the mills of God, you know what a mill is? Grinding. The mills of God are very slow. In German, Gottes Mühl mal langsam, aber sehr genau. The same saying is in English, I believe. The mills of God are very slow, but exceedingly, they mill exceedingly precisely, isn't it? In English, there is a saying. Because that, it takes time. It took 40 years. And normally karma is not, even that's considered instant. Normally karma takes long time. It carries it out over many, many lifetimes. So we get upset with the immediate cause. Somebody is beating us, and we curse this man. You become a horse in your next life. or something. You become angry. But actually we should understand that he's actually a tool in Krishna's, he's a puppet in Krishna's hands, like everybody. I remember one time one devotee came to me and we talked about his, he had some problem with his parents. And I said, what's the situation? He said, well, my father hates me, I hate my father. I said, why? He said, well, because he was beating me when I was a child. I said, well, you should forgive him. He said, how can I do that? He said, because if your father wouldn't have beaten you, somebody else would have beaten you because you needed to be beaten. Because you have beaten somebody, you have done something bad, and so you get it back. The people are interchangeable. But you were in for beating. You were in for suffering. A particular reaction from your previous life. So you should forgive your father. He said, I can't do that. I said, when have you talked to your father last time? He said, 10 years ago. He said, does he know that you're in the Hare Krishna movement? He said, he found out. He said, does he like it? He hates it. He's even more angry with me that I'm in the Hare Krishna movement. I said, forgive him anyway. Because whatever happens to you is never between you and him or between you and them. It is between you and Krishna. It always has been at every moment, it always will be. It's between you and Krishna actually. So, he thought about it. Next day he called me up on the phone. He said, Preetu, you know what happened? I said, what happened? He said, imagine my father was on the phone. This boy is living in Leipzig, the father is in Hamburg. 400 kilometers or 300 kilometers north. My father was on the phone, first time since 10 years. I said, what did he say? He said, son, I'm getting old and I think I'm going to die sometimes. I want to talk with you because so many things happened between us that were not very good and I also didn't do good things to you. I'm sorry, so I would like to talk to you. In fact, I want to visit you and I want to see how you're living. I don't know anything about Hare Krishna. Maybe I should find out myself. So the boy said, Father, 10 years we have not talked to me. Now you've apologized for what happened in the past. Now you want to visit me even. What happened? When did you change your mind? The man said, well, yesterday. He said, what time? He said, 8 o'clock in the evening. That was the time this boy forgave his father. It works like magic. It's just unbelievable. He forgave his dad, he accepted that this is a reaction. I'm suffering. My father is just the instrument. He forgave him. He released his father and his father understood it from inside. Krishna rang him up. You gotta do something. Call up your boy. Forgive him. And so you see how everything is interwoven, that we are meeting in a roundabout way, our own deeds. Sure as death. And so, we should always be introspective when we see our happiness and our distress. That it is a reaction to something. Like now, right now we are living in a temple. It is not an ordinary thing to live in a temple. Most people cannot live in a temple. Most people can't even see a temple from inside. Because there is some karma, some good karma, some sukriti. We were discussing this in the last lecture. That yes, Prabhupada gives the possibility to get home back to God and to everybody, but we also have to have some sukriti. We have to have the ability to take that mercy. And that is due to past life deeds. This is due to past life. No doubt about it. Devotees are very fortunate that good fortune doesn't fall from the sky. And on the other side, in suffering as well, we should understand when we suffer that suffering is just another form of Krishna, really. It is Krishna's mercy. is Krishna's way to relieve us from our own karmic disposition. It's a way of purification. Suffering, if we accept suffering for what it is, that is, in the ultimate issue, the reaction to our own deeds. If we embrace it as such, rather than pointing our finger, when we point our finger towards somebody who caused us to suffer, Prabhupada says three fingers point towards ourselves. Three fingers point towards ourselves. So if we understand that this is another form of Krishna, really, so that we pay our dues and live in this spirit, Tati Nukampam Sukshamikshamanu, in this great verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm accepting the reactions of my past life in a humble mood. Then we make advancement. Then we make advancement. Because suffering is a way of purification. It is not the best way to purification. It is a secondary. What is the best way to purification? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Parasivanam, Acharanam, etc. The process of devotion and service, that's the most intelligent way to free ourselves from reaction. That's the first, the royal road. To free ourselves from reaction, because Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo. Everyone is under the law of karma. Karma is merciless. There's no mercy in it. As you sow, you shall reap. It's eye for eye, it's tooth for tooth, practically speaking. It's cruel. You see the suffering of the world. It's cruel. But it's not unjust. But at any time you can free yourself out of this machinery of action and reaction. At any moment you just... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. You chant. You hear. You serve. You bow down. You worship the deity. You worship the Vaishnavas. This is a royal path to become the first class path to become free from karmic reactions. And if you don't do that, then you have to... There's, my father used to say, wenn ich hören will, muss fühlen. If you don't want to hear, then you have to feel. Then you have to learn the hard way. If you refuse shabda, hearing from scripture, then you have to have pratyaksha. Then you have to experience the material world. Material world is a huge machine made so that we learn some or other. Either by hearing, we have this two opportunities. Either we turn to Krishna, we can do that, or Krishna will beat us up by the law of karma. It's the only two things we can do. Either we turn to him or we get beaten up by the laws of material nature. It's made like that. And most people get beaten up. And we get also beat, we get reactions. So we should be understanding that whatever comes to us, and people may criticize us, people may beat us, people may spit on us, people may do so many things. I can make a list this long, what happened to me in this life. This person that I can remember even. When I was 7 years old, somebody took a bow and arrow and shot an arrow into my tooth. I lost my first tooth. I remember when I was a little boy, I looked, there was a dog, he had puppies. We had a dog at home. I looked inside and she had just had puppies. She saw this big face, you know, she grabbed me and bit me into karma. I cried. My mother should have explained to me. It's not between the dog and me. It's between, you know, ultimately between you and God. You made a mistake. Here you made a small mistake, but suffering comes to us like this. All types of suffering and good fortune also. Happiness and distress is fixed. It's fixed. Everybody has to suffer his own deeds. Karmana deva netrina. Karmana deva netrina. Under the control of the demigods, everybody enjoys and everybody suffers. That is the law of nature. And so, Chichaketu understood very well that he was cursed by Mother Parvati. He said, well, that's my own deeds. He didn't point his finger towards Mother Parvati. He said, how dare you to curse me? Because he knew three fingers would point towards himself. That she was just an instrument. And we see here that Prabhupada explains that Krishna spoke through her. Ultimately, it's between me and Krishna. Whatever happens to me, good or bad in this world. And we have to look beyond the immediate cause. There's an immediate cause, which is somebody beats me or somebody makes me suffer. There's an intermediate cause. These are the demigods. There's the ultimate cause, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control everything is going on. He's controlling everything. Even my own body, you know, everything is under the control of God. It's not that the super complicated chemical processes in our body are carried out by chance. It's controlled. Therefore, by that logic, you can imagine if God is controlling everything in your body via the demigods, such complex processes, it's no big deal for God to put your bread on the table. It's not a big thing. We don't have to worry about our daily bread if you turn to Krishna. He's feeding everybody. So, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Rideshi Arjuna Chishtati. Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, Sarva Bhutanam, of all living beings. Rideshi, in the heart, Arjuna Tishtati, he's situated. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutanam, he moves everyone. Brahmayan, he moves everybody. Everybody is moved by God. You cannot even stretch yourself without Krishna. Can you? How do you stretch yourself? What happens? Why do you scratch yourself? He's scratching. Why is he scratching? You know why? Because the Prabhu in the body, he's transcendent, he's a soul. Actually, he's a soul. And he has no connection to the body whatsoever, except consciousness. As the sun is penetrating or illuminating the universe, the sunshine, the soul illuminates the body with consciousness. So Prabhu, he's in the body, he's conscious of the body, and he feels, oh, there's a scratch, there's an itch on my head. So how does he get the hand from here to there if he's not in control of the body? You see, he's not the doer. He wants to do it because he's a soul, he's conscious, so Krishna knows. Man proposes, God disposes, Krishna calls the demigods. Hello, yes, Krishna. Can you please lift up the hand? Yes, yes, my Lord. This is how this works. Under the control of the super soul, the demigods. This is happening in with the speed of light. Immediately, our desires are transformed into action. Immediately. Without the super soul, you cannot scratch, you cannot see. You cannot see anything. The eye is just a lens. You need electricity, if you have a camera, to power this lens. Eye is just a lens. So we can see, by Krishna's arrangement, only this much. But Krishna can, you know, open the lens. He can, from one moment to another, increase our ability to perceive. From one moment to another, Arjuna, all of a sudden, Krishna increased his ability to perceive, and he could see the universal form. So everything is under Krishna's control, minutely, everything. You cannot lift even your hand, you cannot scratch your nose, you cannot breathe, you cannot eat, you cannot digest, you cannot do anything. And so whatever happens at every moment to us, Krishna is right there. He's right there. Under his control, everything is happening. This world is under complete control. Try to understand this. I know from Christian religion, people pray, "Our Father, who is in heaven." And they think God is in, he's also in heaven, but he's also here. He's everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu se antarastam. He's in every atom. So why are you praying like this? You might as well pray like that, or to the left, to the right. He's everywhere. Yato yato yamitato nishingho. Prahlad could see, wherever he could see Lord Nishinga. Bahir Nishinga, Ridaye Nishingo. Inside and outside is Lord Nishinga there. Huh? Bahir Nishingo, Ridaye Nishingo. In the heart, outside, everywhere. Lord is everywhere. He could see because he had that type of software, the software of a pure devotee in his head. Therefore he could see. So everything and every moment is under God's control. Not a blade of grass moves without His sanction. We learn in the West. And then somebody dies, people start crying. I remember when my little brother died, my mother took the best chadar and wrapped his feet and put it into the coffin. And I was wondering, and what is the use of this? Who is benefiting? It's just a waste of money. It's just a body. He's not there, he's elsewhere. Maybe he's sitting here. I don't know. So people are so carried away by the bodily conception of life. And thus they have no knowledge why people suffer, why people enjoy, why something happened to an innocent person. Because innocence is a myth, it's mythology. People live under the myth of innocence in this material world. It's a myth. There's no such a thing as innocent. Even a little child, why is he having a material body? Not innocent. The cows, even if they're slaughtered in the slaughterhouse, they're not as innocent as they may look. Jesus said, if you take to the sword, you will be killed by the sword, very clearly. So if I go into this restaurant, in this hamburger restaurant, into McDonald's, I take to the sword. As clear as that. You may say, well, I don't kill anybody. You do. You pay somebody. He who kills the cow, cooks the cow, sells the cow, prepares the cow, distributes the cow, five members of the cause are all equally guilty. It says in Manu Samhita. So he who takes to the sword is killed by the sword. Tolstoy used to say, the Russian philosopher and writer, used to say, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be war fields. So if somebody goes into the McDonald's, he takes to the sword. Don't be surprised if in your next life you experience violence. You may be in the form of an enemy. You may well be in a slaughterhouse. Because as you sow, you shall reap. It is not for free. Nothing is free in the material world. It's like you go in a supermarket. You put everything into your basket. Very nice, very nice. Let me take this, that. But in the end, you have to suffer. You stand at the till. And the man says, $80. Oh! Well, don't complain. You know, you put all this into your basket. That's the material world. It's like a gigantic supermarket. You can put so many things into your basket, but you have to pay the price. Nothing is for free here. The only thing is free, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That doesn't cost anything. Just say, that's the opposite. It gives you life. It costs you life, your material life, no doubt about it, in the ultimate issue. But it gives you life, it gives you eternal life. So great souls like Chitraketu immediately, if we suffer, it will take us some time. Even if somebody says, well, that's Krishna's mercy. You say, come on, give me a break, I'm suffering. So no, it is Krishna's mercy. You must have done something. And people cannot understand, and they see the suffering of this world. The other day I was explaining, when the World Trade Center collapsed, The Bishop of New York said, "Where was God in New York yesterday? I'm losing my faith." He was right there. Not a blade of grass moves without a sanction. Man proposes, God disposes. God is not unfair. He's not blind. Everyone reaps what he sows. That is a fact. And so, if in your religiosity you have only one life, if there's only that means there's no concept of soul. How is a soul? Deinos minya tadehi kumaram yovnam jra. There's no proper concept. There's no perfect idea. And therefore we became atheists. And I became an atheist when I was 12 years old because of it. Because there's no knowledge. Prabhupada said that philosophy without spirituality is dead. And religion without philosophy is simply sentimental. It's simply sentimental. And so we can understand that this knowledge is coming through parampara. Nobody can make knowledge. Religion is not made by man. If it is made by man, then it is simple mental speculation. Simply mental speculation. Mundane religiosity is nothing but mental speculation. It's the conclusions of theologians. Theories about God. But not Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion of the soul. So we have to hear from parampara, we have to learn why people suffer and why I'm suffering or why I'm enjoying. And if I'm facing a severe reaction, like in this case, Chitraketu, immediately he took the curse on his head and said, "Thank you very much. This is my karma." Karma is two meaning. Karma means doing. It's also my karma, my work, my karma. Karma also means getting. There's two meanings in one word, one Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is such a perfect language. You just study the word karma, you understand karma. It means doing and getting. As you do, as you sow, you reap. It takes as you sow, so you reap. As you sow, so you reap. Six words in Western, in English, to explain, which is in Sanskrit explained in one word, karma. That's all. So perfect. Such a perfect language. It expresses everything perfectly. It's not some sound vibration. It's perfectly explaining in detail situations in this material world. Everything is like this in Sanskrit. So we are very fortunate that we have come to this position somehow or other by Krishna's mercy on one side, and on the other side also, Prabhupada pointed this out one time, due to some previous life activity, as you also see in this verse that Brahmana Brahmini Kuna Bhagyavan Jiva, when it goes all over the universe, experiences so much happiness, distress, but somehow other, by mercy of Krishna, one finds Guru, and by mercy of Guru, one finds Krishna. No one is exempt from suffering, but if you turn to Krishna, then karmadi nirdahatu kintu cha bhakti bhajam. A devotee is free from all reactions due to his bhakti bhajam, to his devotional service. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Question and one comment also. A question is like Bhrigu Muni offended Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. To Brahma, his own son, father, he disturbed him through mind, to Shiva through speech, and through Vishnu actual kicking, action. So he was not cursed, or rather he was appreciated by Lord Vishnu and comforted him that my chest is so hard, so might be let me massage your feet. And this small action of Chitraketu Maharaj led to so much of, he in a row offended three great Vaishnava, including Vishnu himself. Why so?
I don't know. I will ask Jai Advaita Swami today. I visit him. Maybe he has an answer. And if not, then I ask somebody else. Sometimes I'm coming in situations in Krishna consciousness that I frankly don't know. So then I ask. I write some email and this devotee, that devotee. Sometimes I get it's just a matter of time somebody has a really good answer. There's always a good answer to it. Okay. But I don't know this answer right now. To think about it, talk with somebody about it. I come back to you.
Okay.
Give me your email.
And yeah, sure. I've given you my card, so please.
Okay.
My comment is about your Sunday explanation about Trinity of Christianity.
Huh?
Trinity of Christianity. Father, Holy Spirit and Son.
Yes.
I have studied Christianity very deeply. From cover to cover, I have studied Old Testament and New Testament. Holy Spirit is, in our terminology, it is Brahma Jyoti. So that time the population was not ready for holy name. So Krishna gave his Holy Spirit through Jesus. Jesus was a channel to radiate the Holy Spirit of Krishna or God. So through that he healed and saved people of his time. And thereafter, even today, even evangelical masters are radiating the same power, Holy Spirit. So Holy Trinity is basically right, because at that time the holy name would not have been a success. So Lord Chaitanya introduced holy name and Jesus introduced Holy Spirit. So we cannot deny whatever Jesus did.
Let me tell you the answer to that. When Prabhupada met a very famous professor in Germany, and I was the translator, and the professor was very puffed up. Prabhupada asked him, what is your opinion? The professor came and spoke Christian theology. So after some time, Prabhupada shook his head. And the professor said, what do you think? And Prabhupada said, 2,000 years have passed, and still you don't understand Jesus. And the professor said, Swamiji, why do you say? He said, because if you understand Krishna, you can understand Jesus, and if you understand Jesus, you can understand Krishna. The same thing. There's only one truth, one religion. And if you say you love Jesus, you must love Krishna, because Jesus said, love your Lord with all your heart. Our Father who's in heaven, the Krishna is a Father, Aham Bija Pradapita. And if you love Krishna, you also must love Jesus, because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. Then Prabhupada said that for the Christians, Prabhupada said, I have only sharp words. I was shocked. I had to translate it. And this professor said, why? He said, because you don't follow Jesus. You don't follow. He says you should not kill, and you kill. Then Prabhupada said, it is simply lip service. You serve with your lips. Jesus, 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 but you don't follow him. Jesus himself said, I come from this tradition. You serve me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. You see, so this idea of Trinity is a construct, it's a philosophical, a theological construct developed on the Council of Nicaea in the year 345. That's where it comes from. Jesus never talked about the Trinity. You don't find it in the Synoptic Gospels, you don't find it in John's Epistle, you don't find it. You find it in none of the 26 scriptures that are part of the canon of the New Testament. You don't find it. You don't find it in the writing of Clement of Alexandria. You don't find it in Origen. You don't find it in Epiphanius. You don't find it in none of the church fathers, because I studied comparative religion. You don't find it. It appears in the Council of Nicaea that sages, Christian sages, got together and they made it up. It's simply mental speculation. You can ask every gopi, what is the Holy Trinity? She never heard about it. You ask Lalita, what is the Holy Trinity? She said, I don't know. What is it? Tell me. So on earth there is some religiosity that talk about the Holy... I said, I have absolutely no idea what that is, Holy Trinity. In Krishna consciousness, you never hear about that. We may say it is the Father is Krishna and Jesus is the soul, the jiva, and the Holy Spirit is the Paramatma. You can say that. But that's not what they had in mind, really. They didn't know. They just construed something. You know, it's a construct. It's a theological construct. Let me tell you, there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which is addressing this really well. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, let me just find it, 1 second. There's one verse. Here. Beautiful verse by Krishna's Kaviraj. Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balo Piyat Anugrahat Tare Nana Matagraha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. That I offer my obeisance to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusions about the Absolute Truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. So, Trinity, this is just a theory about God. This theory, that theory. Thousands of theories. The whole world is full of theories about God. It has nothing to do with fact. The truth you have to hear from Parampara. Outside of Parampara, Krishna says, Sakalaniya Mata Yoganashta Parantapa. The knowledge is lost. So what do people know outside of Parampara? They know how to speculate. These are conceptions about God, theories about God. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, it's an ocean of theories about God. This religion, that religion, this idea, that religion. Idea. But actually it's just mental speculation. The Mahajans, they understand what is truth, and we should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. They can tell us, because they are solidly situated. The truth is hidden in the heart of an unalterated sage. There's another verse. So somebody who is unalterated, somebody who is a pure devotee, yes, he bears Krishna in his heart. He knows from Krishna why this is so. But meat-eating people, how can they establish, how can they postulate what is God? They can't. They're meat-eaters. Meat-eaters cannot understand. I've never seen a meat-eater being able to understand Krishna consciousness. You can't. I gave up meat eating way before I came to the movement. And when I read Ishupanishad, when I saw no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, I said, that's it. That's what I practice. That I can take that serious. So people who are eating meat, what do they know? They don't even understand the law of karma. They don't even understand Jesus. He says, he who takes to the sword, he will be killed by the sword. Then why are you eating meat? You shouldn't kill. Nowhere in the Bible Jesus is eating meat. Nowhere. Not one sentence you can show me that he's eating meat. No. All of Israel was eating the Last Supper, the Pascha meal. Every Israeli eats a lamb in memory of the Exodus from Egypt. That's what it's about. He was not. He was in complete contradiction to his entire culture, sitting down and having bread. Because he was not a meat eater. In the 4th century, the sage, the Christian saint, sage Epiphanius wrote a book. It's called the Panarion. And he talks about the original community in Jerusalem. Those people who ate with Jesus, walked with Jesus, heard about Jesus. And he said, they believe that Jesus said, you cannot follow me if you eat meat. It's right in the scriptures, in this particular book. So the original followers of Jesus, for sure they didn't eat meat. But in due course of time, it became introduced. You know, it became the rules became relaxed. If you relax the rule, you can increase ISKCON. No doubt about it. If you say, it's enough to be a vegetarian to get initiation, thousands of people will come. They want to be initiated. Thousands. You say, forget about illicit sex, it's okay. Drink, be merry, come to me. People will come by the thousands. So as long as there's meat eating, we should understand these are karmis. And karmis don't know. Pravittim cha, nivrittim cha, janana vidrasura, nasocham chapu. Chaparu, what is it? Nasocham, napi, satcharu, nasatyam teshu, nasatyam teshu, vidyate. There is no truth to be found in them. So the Trinity is, don't kid yourself, the Trinity is a mundane concept. It doesn't exist in the spiritual sky. It is not in parampara. They made it up. It's a human way to understand oneness on the spiritual level. At the same time, reflecting diversion. We have the same idea, really. But it's not that they had Achinta Bila Bila Tattva in mind. We hear this concept from Lord Chaitanya. It has some similarity to Achintya Bila Bila Tattva. You know? But it is ill-conceived. There's always some similarity there, and there's difference. Just like there's a similarity between the king's palace and a dog's hut. Both of them have four walls and a roof on top. It's a similarity. There's a huge difference as well. So let's not be swayed away by the similarities. Let's see the differences. And the difference is very clear. Knowledge comes from parampara. And sakala niyama ata yoganastha parantapa. When there is no parampara, how can there be knowledge? That's what Krishna says. And that's what I stick to. These are theories, pious theories. It's a pious theory. But it's a theory. It's not Sanatana Dharma. It's not an eternal truth. And you can be sure, you can go to another, you can go to another planet, heavenly planet. Nobody ever heard about the Trinity. You can go to the spiritual world, nobody heard about it. It's a mundane concept. It's a Christian concept. Even the Muslims never heard about it. They live right next door. We have so many Muslims in Berlin. Berlin is the second biggest town in Turkey by now, practically speaking. You know, you ask any Muslim, what is the Trinity? Never heard about it. You ask every Jew, what is it? Never heard about it. It's just a Christian concept. The whole world is full of concepts like this, concepts about God. The ceiling is white. Somebody has a blue spectacle and he writes a book about the ceiling, how blue it is. Somebody else has a yellow spectacle. He says, oh, it's yellow, you're crazy. And he writes a book, the ceiling is yellow. Somebody has a red spectacle. He says, no, you're all mad. You must be drugged. The ceiling is red. And so they write different books. This book, this holy book, that, and they're beating each other up in the name of God. What are they fighting about? They're not fighting about God, they're fighting about their conceptions of God. Their perceptions. Yellow, red or blue, that's what they fight about. Their projections, they project on God, project on Jesus. And then you have Christianity, you have a developed, religion develops, mundane religion develops from that, that Krishna says must be given up, sarva dharman prajaja. Because it is a concept about God. It's not Sanatana Dharma. Christianity, useful, religion, mundane religion is not useless. It is also useful. It helps mundane people. At least they go to church. But it is blind. Blind uncle is better than no uncle. That's true. But when the uncle can see, it's better. You see, it's blind. How come they can't understand it? We distribute so many books, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. They can't understand it. Krishna is God. They say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Why don't they chant the name of God? What is the name of God? They don't know. So Prabhupada was very fond of Jesus, make no mistakes, but not of theology. He was asked, to give an example, Jesus was asked by the Pharisee, "What is the highest truth?" What did he say? "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." Bhagavatam asked this question, "What is the highest religion?" Savai Pungsam Parodharmo Yato Bhakti Radhoksaji. There you have it. That is Sanatan Dharma. So what saves a man? Sanatan Dharma saves a man, that he loves God with all his heart, with all his soul. That saves a man. I mean, people think they're saved by the cross, by the suffering of Jesus. Are we saved by the suffering Haridas Thakur undertook when he was beaten over 21 marketplaces? Is the suffering saving me and you? No. That's just unfortunate. What saves me is if I follow the Siddhanta of Haridas Thakur. Nobody is saved by the cross, but if I follow the Siddhanta of Jesus, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and our Father thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." If you do that, yes, yes, you'll be saved. No doubt about it. So there's no salvific value in the cross. And Tamal Krishna asked Prabhupada, "What about the cross?" And Prabhupada said, "It has no value." I'm not saying this on my own thinking. I was the translator there when this discussion took place. So we should not be... We should help people to come to Krishna consciousness. We should help.
Thank you very much.
If somebody comes to me and says, "Why are you chanting Hare Krishna?" It happened to me. Somebody, I drove in a train in Dublin, from Dublin to Cork. And I sat down chanting. Some person's Christian came and immediately said, "You, why are you doing this? Unless you take to Jesus, you cannot be saved." What do you do with him? You cannot change him, his mind. You can talk up to the end of Kali Yuga, you're not going to change his mind. So what do you do? Very simple. I said, "I don't believe you follow Jesus." He said, "Why?" He said, "Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Is that true?" He said, "Yes." "So I'm the neighbor. How much money do you have in your pocket?" He said, "Wait a minute." I said, "How much money do you have in your pocket? Come on." He said, €100. I said, "Give me 50. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you follow Jesus, give me 50 right now." He said, "Well, I think you're right." And he gave me 50. And I embraced him. I said, "You are really following Jesus. Thank you very much." That is good preaching. That's good preaching. Krishna said, "Let not the wise disrupt the mind of the ignorant." They should not be called to refrain from their work, but be engaged in the spirit of devotion. That's what I did. So if you meet somebody who is stuck in theology, in some mundane concept of God, best thing is, ask him a donation. Put it into the handi. Don't argue with him. Or stick a gulab jam into his mouth. In this way he acquires sukriti. And that sukriti will carry him next time he buys a book. Next time this, next time that. Sooner or later he will look into the mirror and say, "My God, I have no hair. What is this on my face?" He has become a devotee. We have to create piety. This movement is creating piety in the life of the impious. You know? We are respectful to the believers of other religions, but we are not in illusion about it that Krishna came and he spoke Bhagavad Gita. It is himself speaking. When Moses, in the Old Testament, he sees a burning bush and he hears the voice of God. So he falls on his face and says, God, who are you? The voice comes back and says, I am what I am. It's not much of an answer if you think about it. If I ask you, who are you? He said, I am what I am. I said, well, thank you very much. When Arjuna asks Krishna, who are you? Krishna speaks 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. I'm the source of everything. The whole creation rests upon me. The wise who know this worship me with all their hearts. There's no truth beyond me. All universes are resting on me like pearls are strung on a thread. I'm sitting in everyone's heart, Arjuna. For me alone comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So many verses. I'm the ability in man, the intelligence of the intelligence, the power of the powerful man. So many things Krishna is explaining himself, on and on and on. That's religion. Because religion means to connect with God. You get knowledge by which you can connect. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita not in vain, not as it's just one religion among many. The Lord came and he spoke 700 verses. That's not a small thing. That's big. And the Lord is here on the altar. When we see, you go to the altar, you see the Lord right there. What do you see? You go to a temple, you go to a church, what do you see? You see Krishna, Radha. It's not different from, this is actually not different from the Lord. So if you want to see the Lord, you've got to go into a temple and see Murti of Krishna. They're incomparable what Prabhupada has given us. You can't compare it. I know very well, because I come from a particular, from Christian tradition, and I studied Christian theology. I studied comparative religion. Nothing can compare with Krishna consciousness. Bhagavatam, you can't compare Bhagavatam to any other scripture. So detailed is instruction given, down to the detail, how the universe is made, the whole universe's structure. People may say, our Father is in heaven. Well, he's everywhere. And what is heaven anyway? Well, there are so many different heavenly planets. We know the names. And beyond the heaven, there's Virata River, and beyond the Virata River, there's a spiritual sky, and there's Vaikuntha planets, and then there's Goloka. And all the millions of planets in this universe, it's just one universe among millions of universes, and all the entire material creation is just a fraction of the spiritual world. So much knowledge, so much wealth in knowledge, depth of understanding. How can you compare this to anything on the planet? People have no idea. They think there's only one, the idea that there's only one planet and there's only one sun who died for the sins, for my sins. This is the fantasy of extraterrestrials. Terrestrial people. People who are earthlings. It's not very deep understanding. Therefore, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prem Padayati Krishna Krishna Chaitana Namnivati. No, that's not the verse. Omagyanti Mirandas Yaganandana Shalaka Chakshuramitaminata. Spiritual Master has opened my eyes. He has given us such deep understanding. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.